So New Year has come and gone, but we probably spent a lot of time with family over the past few weeks. And I noticed something. We all have siblings. I love a good sibling story, whether it's funny or whether it's hilarious in like not a good way. I want to hear your wildest sibling story.
I'm pretty sure my brother knocked out all of my baby teeth except for three.
Nice, nice.
I can remember losing three baby teeth where it didn't involve me getting tackled or hit with something or had something thrown at me.
I was about to say, yeah, I got almost got knocked out on a trampoline once.
I was pile-drived into a concrete floor and knocked unconscious when I was wrestling with my brother, who's 4 years older than me, and his friends, who are also all 4 years older than me.
Right.
I think we know why Kezra is the way he is.
What's really funny about this is that, like, Kelly is so much bigger than his brother now.
Yeah, I definitely am. But, yeah, when he was swinging baseball bats at me as I was on a swing, or throwing things at me while I wasn't paying attention, or just hitting me, getting elbows to the face, I'm pretty sure I lost almost all of my baby teeth from him.
Oh,
yep.
Goddamn. That's a sibling for you.
Shit. Kelly's been working out ever since. Waiting for his moment.
I could snap him in half now. He's a weenie runner now. So
he just has to run away.
As long as he doesn't have like a long track of unimpeded obstacles, I got him. I know I can out sprint him. I have much stronger legs.
They get you the long game.
Yeah.
Oh, no, look, 5 miles.
Oh, Kelly's like, oh, fuck it.
Yeah, if he can just get going and he can run for 9 miles, like, I can't run for 9 miles.
I remember back, it was me, my brother, and just our friends who were in the neighborhood. Tim, I don't think you were around this point. But I just remember there was a playground, and instead of having that soft rubber mulch or wood mulch, it was mulched with rocks.
Oh.
We just had rock fights.
What the fuck? Mulch with rocks.
Yeah, that was a thing. That was a thing. Yeah, little pea gravel. Dude, this was one of the ones built in the 90s. This was a good playground. Fuck safety. Fuck everything. There was nothing. No soft stuff.
The merry-go-rounds with the sharp metal edges underneath.
Hell yeah.
Kids would crawl under.
Yeah, and we would just grab handfuls of rocks and just hope our parents didn't see us. Just started throwing them at each other. It was the dumbest thing. That and just running full tilt across all the unprotected playground equipment. I don't know how I don't have any broken bones.
I mean, it was like that around the one playground, I think, where Route 18 Park, where one of the old slides was just like, it looked like just a piece of sheet metal.
Yeah.
So, oh, man. In this summer, you're just like, oh my God, this is like 100 degrees, and you're like baked on it, and God forbid if you run into it the wrong way.
You leave skin on that slide.
Yeah. You'd start sliding, and then you get stuck, and you just start rolling down. So it turned into this. You weren't. It wasn't a slide. You were falling down a hill.
Yeah.
Now that I have older kids, I am horrified and terrified of like the kind of injuries they could inflict on other children. Just like
you should
I was
be.
Like, wow. When I was a kid, at Brock's age at 9 and older, we were throwing rocks at each other and
you know,
waving heavy sticks at each other's heads. Like one of these days, Brock's just going to be playing with his friends and he's going to injure someone. I'm going to be like, son of a bitch! I don't want to deal with that.
Well, maybe stop taking him to jiu-jitsu classes then.
Yeah, I'll go back to that.
The wildest one I can think of off the top of my head is one time me and my siblings were laughing so much, just kind of just talking or whatever, and one of my siblings like threw up because they were laughing so hard.
Oh.
What were you laughing about?
Who even knows?
Tim was practicing his young podcast game then. He was just like, I gotta get the yucks in.
Working on my tight five back then.
You know exactly what type it was. It was, you're laughing about something, and then you just can't stop laughing, and then someone does something stupid, and you just keep it going. Like, I know exactly what type of laugh that was.
Yep.
And then your parents come in, they're like, what the hell's going on? And then everyone shuts up, then they look at each other. Then they break into laughter.
Because one of you looks at each other and you have a face.
Yeah.
You have a face that sets the other one off and you just lose it. Mm-hmm. You just lose it entirely. So I'm the eldest sibling. Surprise. I'm the eldest sibling, but by like 16 years. Being like way, way older than them, I get to like drive over at their house and just like bully them for a while and then just like go home. And then there was one time after I left, I texted both of them and I said, I farted in both of your beds. And they were just like, I fucking knew it.
Like, you shit in the bed. What the hell?
Sharted in his bed.
Like, that wasn't me, actually.
I knew I smelled olives and salami.
One of my favorite fantasy football podcasts has a segment called Fart or Shart. It's awesome.
Go on. Should we do that one?
They present a player who is playing poorly, and they ask if their poor performance lately is a fart or a shart. A fart meaning it'll clear up, it'll go away with time, but a shart means that there's some deeper problems here and something needs to be done about it.
Okay, all right.
It's a great game. I love when they ask fart or shart.
Should we do that with our PCs when the PCs don't perform well?
Fart or shart. It's funny, they asked their fans to put together like junk radio intros for fart or shard, like fart or shard.
Oh my god, I want to do that.
They've had so many entries that every episode they do fart or shard, which is like once or twice a week, they've had a different intro. It's been great.
Amazing.
That's funny.
That's great.
They have like a really engaged fan base and they answer emails all the time, so it's awesome. They get tons of fan input.
All right, everybody, check off your bingo cards, check off Kelly Turns childhood story to fantasy football. Yeah,
fantasy
football.
Fantasy season is over today.
All right, Mark, you've got siblings.
Yeah, I got two older siblings, but honestly, I really don't have too many stories. Like, they were older than me by about like 8-9 years. I don't know. Actually, how old? I don't know, 10 years older than me. So, I don't know. They never really hung out with me that much. So, they were out of the house when I was younger. So, that wasn't I really don't have any other stories.
No. You have the combination of being the youngest child, but also kind of being an only child because of the fact that
they moved out of the house pretty fast when they could. But I mean, honestly, the only story that I can remember is us like getting into sort of fights, but like it was with pillows and shit because I was, you know, young and weren't trying to chuck like anything heavy, even though they did a couple times. But I mean, that was par for the course. Yeah. But most of the time it was us like accidentally getting in trouble, and then because we would knock over something with a pillow, which was a lamp, you know, something that may have broken, and then finding out who did it, and then we would all clam up and then run into the woods. So our parents, that was one of the things that we did. We were just like, our parents would just like come be like, who the fuck did this? You know, like the lamp's broken and stuff. And then we all just ran outside into the woods. Because we knew we were faster than our parents. So
quick, scatter.
Yeah, it was pretty much that. And then whoever got caught first usually had to take the blame. I was like, yeah, well, no, that was pretty much a lot of the things I remember.
Yeah, see, it's funny that they were that much older than you and like didn't interact with you, because like I said, me being as way older than mine, like so my youngest, the youngest of the three of us he's like taller than me. He's a freak of nature is what he is, but he's only 15. He's taller than me, and then the middle sibling is like very small. So the middle one, you could just pick them up and just like walk away. Like you could just they're quite small.
I'll put it like this: they were both. Two older sisters that were in high school. They didn't want to interact with anyone that younger. They were always dealing with everything else in their cliques and sports and shit like that. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, they had their own things going on.
Yeah. So it makes sense. Well, you guys are dealing with some family issues last episode. Thankfully, Garn's two natural ones didn't offset the investigations that were happening here.
That was a shart.
That was a shart. Yeah, let's talk about that. Garn, why are you sharting these investigations, man?
Man, the dice tell the story. It's called emergent storytelling via RNG.
I agree.
If you really want to put into the story, anytime he asked a question, he just ripped one as soon as he asked. And that's why the people are like, what the hell? Get out of here. Like, you don't want to deal with your lumpy ass.
It would be really funny to go up and ask a person a question, like, with the purpose of investigation, and the moment they go to answer, you just rip ass, and they're just like, did you just fart?
They're like, no.
No. That was you.
He's a little incontinent.
He's only 200 and something years old. I mean, it happens. The dwarves
his age. Stupid. Sorry, my stupid computer, did it turn on my sound again? It turned on system sounds. Gosh dang darn it.
did your mouse fall asleep and scare the shit out of you?
Uh-huh. I can't live like this.
Tim was talking about his woes of getting a new mouse, but somehow it activates his sound, and it's very weird.
Yeah, I need to I need to turn off notifications for this. I can't live like this.
I can't work like this. Well, we ended the last episode with you guys kind of coming to a dead end and searching around for Zamak, who was one of the newlyweds who had walked away. You guys got reports that he was circling around somewhere in the Earthfire District, and then after that, the trail just goes completely cold. You guys very smartly said, listen, two people went missing. Maybe they're connected. Let's go check out this other person. So you went to... who was it? You went to Adorned Dolgendir, who is the council member for the Guild of Finery. So he was the dude that had the really like curly mustache that came like down over his lips, real walrus looking dude. And he had handed you guys a letter that he says was written by Algrit, the woman. The other person that's missing, and this is the only clue that you've had directly from somebody that's been missing so far. Mm-hmm. So he hands it over to you, which of you is reading it?
Most likely me, because
you
finery.
Pretty sure Marx is the only one that can read.
I can't read this. I'm looking upside down and shit. Where's the pictures?
It's probably in Dwarven, so yeah, either Ambrose or Garn, really.
Benson's right. Like, I don't read. I let my sword do the talking. Me write word with sword. In flesh of evildoer.
So, Mark, I'm going to send you the letter itself in a Discord message here.
Oh my god, a floating shopping list!
Dwarves are using Discord!
So go ahead and read that.
Okay. To Adorned Dolgendir, I hope you will forgive the suddenness of this letter and that you will keep its contents in confidence. For some time now, I have been feeling unwell. Persistent nausea, weakness, and spells of dizziness that I can no longer ignore. After much private reflection, I have come to realize the cause. I am with child. This was not an easy truth to accept, nor one I feel prepared to share openly. The circumstances of my condition are complicated. I have been engaged in a discreet relationship with a man from High Helm, charming, attentive, and kind, but one that I feared would invite gossip or judgment were it known. For that reason, I chose silence, even among friends. I intend to place myself in the care of the Psychic Guild? Is that? Or Psychic Guild?
A physic guild. It's physic guild. The healers and stuff like that. So, your midwives, physicians. Your midwives and stuff would go there.
Yeah. I was wondering if I was getting dyslexic for a moment. I was like, physics? Because, I mean, it's spelled almost the same. You're just switching two letters wrong. Physic guild to ensure the health of both myself and my unborn child. I may be absent from my duties for the time while I recover my strength and consider what comes next. Please assure the others that I am safe and that my absence is voluntary. I ask only for your patience and understanding. When I am ready, I will return and explain everything in person. With gratitude, Algret.
Hmm. This is the fastest missing person case ever.
Why did Frostin send us on this wild dwarf chase if the dwarf in question voluntarily disappeared?
Well, you'll see, that's the thing here. I don't believe this is the reason. You see, it's not like Algret to act like this. She's, how would you say, she's very outspoken and about her preferences or unflinching in her decisions. It's, the physic guild would conceal information. It's not uncommon for them, but nothing like this, especially with somebody like me. I would need to know of these things. Now,
he's like stroking his mustache.
Didn't she let you know right here?
Yes, but to completely disappear would make no sense. Also, for her to completely disappear after sending me this, she would have no reason to do that. There's no reason to hide this. She wouldn't lose a position. We would be perfectly accommodating to something as wonderful as a child. It's all very strange. And now her missing. I mean,
she's a dwarf. Maybe she's just getting her iron levels checked.
That was actually pretty good. This is not a joking matter.
Well, it's all so very strange. I'm starting to doubt this letter in itself or the reason she provided it. It's all so very strange.
Oh.
Well, is it her handwriting?
I haven't looked through all of it. I'm a busy man. If you would like, you can look through some of her notes to be able to compare things. I'm not quite good at this. I'm a man of sophistication. I'm not a handwriting expert, after all.
I would say that might behoove us to do such a thing. I would like to take a look at some of her notes, because I was thinking that either, I don't know, kind of a range of using perception, but like law, I don't know, like, would that do, or what type of skill check would that even be?
It would just be a perception check, or if you have society.
Society, okay. Yep. I mean, my perception's higher, actually, but okay. I was just kind of curious if there was something, like, if there's a discrepancy, then you're like, like, deception, like, if someone's trying to deceive using a certain letter in her handwriting, or mimicking it, but not correctly. But the fact that this letter says, engaged in a discreet relationship from a man from High Helm, charming, attentive, kind. Was the guy... Oh God, I was about to say Zoltan.
Zamak.
Zamak. Was he from High Helm or no?
No, he was from...
Okay, so he wasn't from there. Okay.
Yeah, Dwarven City of L'Rad. Totally different places, yeah. When he talks about that too, he mentions that like it wouldn't make any sense for her to like cover that up anyway. Like the nobody would have been like, ooh, scandalous. They would have been like, okay. Like it's very weird that she hid it at all. That's why it seems so out of character for him. So out of character that's why he's kind of doubting this whole thing.
Yeah, I get that, but like I just want to say engaged in discreet relationship, could that also, I'm just thinking of in the other idea of like, you know, he was a married guy, you know, they were hitched up like out of wedlock, like, you know, he's married, she wasn't, and did that, and maybe that's why I was kind of interpreting it as Like, basically, it was cheating.
Right, yeah. All right, well, I mean, if you would ask to see some of her other stuff, so he brings you over to her section where she was designing clothes and working on jewelry and things like that. So she has tons of notes. So there's a lot of things that you could kind of go through and just see, like, where she was writing stuff down and, you know, maybe writing letters out to, you know, get materials and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So as you're looking through, go ahead and make the perception or society, anybody who's looking.
I was interested in the handwriting, so I'll look.
Okay.
Yeah, perception. Good. Starting off good. 37.
Bad for me. Not even worth it.
Was that a fart?
Hopefully.
all right, so what did you get again? Sorry?
37. That was a 19 on die.
Okay, so you look through this, and there's certain things that look similar, but then there's some really striking differences in the way that the Y's are written, and the way that, like, her I's are dotted on, like, her notes, and then this. There's some stuff that really looks like they tried to make it look like her own handwriting.
This is a fake! But, yeah, it's, okay, this seems a bit strange here, and he's kind of assigning, like, different notes and stuff, like, all the notes of hers, and, you know, got, like, three different versions. And, yeah, see right here? The I's are different. And the Y's are as well. There's a bit of a swirl with these. Yes, I understand I understand that you are seeing that this is possibly a fake, a forgery.
And you believe that to be the case.
Yes, and he kind of points it out, like, he even shows, he's like, oh, just take a look at these two. I mean, they're close, but different. It doesn't make any sense why she would change her handwriting style on an important note like this. I mean, it just makes no sense.
Well, I was going to say that I'm glad that I was right. But now I'm worried for her well-being. Could you? Do you have any other notes? Have you looked around? I know that Frastin also had someone who he was looking for as well.
Yes, we lost the trail when cold in the Earthfire District. So unfortunately, we were unable to find that person.
Yes, it's. Seemed like he just simply disappeared. Like, as he said, the trail went cold. Ask around, no one's seen him since.
Well, to missing persons here is quite worrying. I will make sure that security here is doubled. Doubled, in fact. Thank you very much for confirming, unfortunately, my worst fears. So he just kind of thanks you guys for that. So if you want, you can look around. He can give you a description. There's you know, a picture of Algret, you know, in here.
Where's her house?
So her house would be in. Trying to remember where in Kovlar it is. Because, let me see.
Like while you're looking it up, like gang, I'm thinking we search the rest of her office, we search her house, we search places that she normally frequents for any like different behavior before she went missing. We see if there's any, like, ransackery of her house, of her belongings. Like, if whoever was trying to get her was just after her or was after something she had. That's just a couple things come to mind. I don't know if
y'all... Seems valid.
Yes.
Places to search.
Yeah, so the fact that if this is the same case, like, similar of that other guy just disappearing and she's disappeared, like, mm-hmm. the same way, I mean, this could... kind of lead into the same I don't want to say creature, but there could be something behind all this. Like,
tell me, did she ever have any interest in sports betting?
sports? What? Why?
I know that there are some bookies in town who would rough someone up and make someone disappear if they had any debts owed.
He goes, you're in trouble with the bookies. And you see him start, packing a bag.
No. Not I. I'll
fuck with undead as the day is long, but I'm not messing with sports bettors.
How could I rack up any debts yet? I'm still working through my 50 gold worth of free bets from dwarf sports bets.
That's how they get you. A dwarf duel.
He confirms that she was not in his force betting.
Nice.
That's a real world problem that they did not put in the game. He tells you where her house is. So if you guys want, you can do that.
I think we should give a general perception of like her office area to see if there's anything like, oh, I need to go pick up some fabric from a merchant at this time and date. Like, did they show up for it? That sort of thing. Or like, if there was somewhere they had to be like today or yesterday or around the time they went missing. So I also want to see if there's any businesses she had in town. All right, come on, Garn. Use those eyes. Use those dwarven eyes.
Can I aid? What do your dwarven eyes tell us?
Please. All right, what you got, Benson, so I can know what to add?
Oh, hold on. I was asking if I could.
Oh.
You may.
Okay.
What was it? Would it just be perception?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, shit. I'll just add to that, too.
Yeah, might as well.
If it's over 30, does that add 2 or 1?
I got a flat 30.
I got a 31, so I wasn't sure if that was like plus 2 or something.
I think you can only aid once. I'm not mistaken.
No, everybody can aid, and then it adds the cumulative plus 1. But yeah, if you crit, doesn't it add the plus 2?
I think so. I think crit is plus 2.
Okay.
So that would put me at 31.
Okay. You're able to look around, and you do see that she sort of went all over town, so I'm not going to give you, like, a specific thing, but she went everywhere, and you can tell that she did go to the Earthfire District.
Oh. During around the same time?
I mean, she was up and down, you know, three or four times. Okay. But the thing, too, is that you know that because the Earthfire District is where they forge stuff, that you can tell in her notes is where she was getting, like, you know, gold worked into stuff and, you know,
Right.
But she seemed to frequent that place because she would be working with the craftsmen there. So if you want to take this stuff, I'll give you a secret bonus to try to use diplomacy to, like, gather information, or if you just wanted to, like, you know, sort of track that, if you want to, like, kind of, like, look around and sort of use this information to try and sort of, like, help you work that in.
I'd say we give her a house just a once over before, just to see if there's any obvious signs of breaking, and then let's go to the Earthfire District and look at talk to folks.
I like that idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you go to our house. It is locked, and it doesn't look like that. There's like there's some like mushroom or something like that. Like, I don't want to say house plant because there's no sun, but there's like there's a house mushroom sitting outside that looks a little worse for wear. Like, she hasn't taken care of it. So you can tell she hasn't been here. Yeah.
All right. Who's going to break in and check around?
Benson, use your key to get in.
Wait. He literally has a skeleton key.
Oh, I was just really... I forgot about that. I just wanted Benson just to kick the door open.
I forgot about the skeleton key.
I do too. We don't want to use a use for that right now.
I think it's was it Kezra who had the skeleton key? Kezra has a greater skeleton key. I believe it recharges every day.
Oh, it recharges.
Oh, no. Once per hour.
Oh, yeah.
The thing is great.
That's...
Yeah, Rogues who?
Yeah.
I was about to say, I don't remember having a skeleton key.
Yeah, I have thievery, but I'm only trained in it. So...
Yeah, that'd be a tough shot at this level for most things.
Yes.
All right, so you guys using the skeleton key?
I mean, it casts breach.
That is true.
Or knock.
Yeah. All right, if you use that, you put that, and the alarm goes off, and you see the Brings Home Security sign up front, and you're like, God dang it! no, you open it up, and it's like a New York apartment. You know what I mean? It's like it's very well fitted, but it's tight. And so you look around your stuff for a little while. Go and give me a perception check while you're here, as you're sort of like, you're not flipping her place over. You know, you're being respectful, I would assume.
Right.
But you are looking for clues.
That was a fat 3 on the die for Benson.
Yeah, same.
Attention at all.
9 for a 27.
Okay. So the one thing that you notice that sort of helps confirm what you guys had figured out earlier is that there is not any personal effects of some guy that she might be seeing. There's not, like, an extra toothbrush. There's not, like, a guy's jacket. You know, there's no, like, hoodie that she stole from some guy that she's seeing. So that forgery, or that letter that you believe is a forgery, now is, like, 100%, because if she was seeing somebody, there would be some kind of evidence here of that.
Wait a second. I'm going to the toilet.
Okay.
It's a surefire way.
Wait, is Garn saying this? So he's just, I'm going to use her boy bathroom.
I'm going to take a dump in her toilet.
We're like, he's like, look for clues? No, I've just been holding this in. Like,
dwarf men have notoriously terrible shots.
Just laced with Metamucil.
What?
You go into her bathroom, and it is spotless. It is a spotless bathroom. Looks like no man has been in this house to soil it.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Well, now that we've trespassed, not even a day into this city, I guess we should move on and try to find this missing person.
No, you're private investigators. It's okay.
There we are.
No, it's not.
So people are badges.
Yeah. I always wondered in shows like, you know, like in Supernatural and stuff like that, they always have to come up with like an alias of like who they are. I'm like, just say you're private investigators.
Right?
Why is that hard?
The problem is, in that case, is that they have to get further, and private investigators can be pushed away pretty fast
by
FBI and stuff. Right. They'll be like, who the fuck are you? No, you get out of here.
Like, get out of here. Get out of here, Joe Schmo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright, so yeah, you confirm here that the letter or the scenario in the letter was in fact fake. Knowing all this stuff, knowing all this information, like I said, I'm going to give you guys a bonus. So go ahead and use diplomacy to gather information.
All right.
I can't remember. Kezra's still not with us, technically, right?
Still not with you.
Okay. So we had the skeleton key on loaner then. Okay. Or we went back to the forge and took it. Like, we need this.
I need this.
Yeah, I forgot Kezra wasn't with us.
Yeah, I'm crafting this entire day.
Listen, listen. We would know if Kezra was here because he'd be like, "I'm using your toilet. Hold on."
Yeah, the investigation would be a lot more rude and dickish.
You can't take her whiskey, dude. That's not cool.
Well, Benson got a 36.
Oh shit, man! I got a 34.
I did not roll a nat 1. I got a 30.
Oh, we actually did good.
Not bad.
Okay.
So I guess I am just a fart. An old fart.
So you guys go searching around and asking some people and stuff like that, and you do find some people, some guys that said that they were, you know, a week ago. They're like, oh yeah, we go to that bar right there, and we saw her walking. These guards were walking her that way.
Guards?
Yeah, looks like she got in trouble or something.
What type of guards were they? Were they, I mean, like the wall guards, or like, you know, or were they specialized? Okay.
No, just some guards. I don't deal with cops.
Oh, No, that makes sense. No.
I kept my head down because I'm smart.
No, no, there you are, rightfully smart. Which direction
did
you say they went?
Won't find me in handcuffs.
No, no, I believe you won't.
For some reason, feel like we will.
What? Wait, what's your name so I can remember it when we eventually find you in handcuffs?
My name's Timothy.
Oh. What a dashing name you have.
Always hated my name.
Strong name.
It's the name of a criminal that likes to trespass.
That's right, my parents named me Timothy Dick Cheese.
Wow.
Great parents.
It's quite the name.
So just from the jump, they were like, hey, fuck this kid.
Took one look at this infant, we're like, yeah, fuck this kid. He's going to have a shitty life. Let's not try with this one.
What's that joke? It's like, that's the longest labor on record. 14 hours, and he just went, fuck you.
Mr. Dick Cheese, confident he would never be called by the cops, tells you that he saw her being escorted by two guards somewhere down the street. So he just kind of points in that direction.
Hmm. Okay. Well, let's
just
start
go take a look.
Going. Yeah. See if we can maybe corroborate the story.
Okay. So you guys, go ahead and roll me a perception check, because you now have like a direction at least to kind of like, you know, help yourselves out there.
Hey Jake, did you give us a map of the town or put us on a different map? I'm on the big map of Sagrock, but didn't you show us a town? Yeah, there we go. Now
so
I'm
yeah,
the
you
action.
Guys are up in the like northwestern area, up here. And so there's like the main streets that you see kind of like drawn, but you can but you know that there's like a bunch of streets that kind of wind in between there and stuff like that.
And where did they say they were walking?
So they said that they were walking sort of like northeast-ish. So they just sort of pointed up the road. So they don't know where they ended up. Of course, they just know that they're walking like that direction. Hmm. But with your gather information was so good that you know that like they didn't see her past like this area. So this looks like the last place that they had seen her.
Well, I don't know if it is the latent energy of the Chrono Worm still working through Garn. Maybe he sees a twinkling blue light that he doesn't understand because he got a nat 20.
Oh,
hey.
Let's go.
Okay.
Beat me.
Yep.
So, the natural 20,
you see everything.
Yeah. you get to a building that is completely, the thing that strikes you about it is that everything else in this place is, like, crafted well and is like, while it's efficient in its design, it's very well made, and they put some like artistic flair on it, right? Dwarven artistic flair. You come across a building that strikes you because it seems to be like it's hiding amongst all the other ones. And this building is completely nondescript. It looks like just a giant, you know, there's like 3D printed like cubes, like the 3D printed houses that are just like giant concrete, like nothings. Okay. It's like that. There's no windows, there's no nothing, there's like one set of double doors. And that's it. And it feels very weird where it's placed, and it seems like it is purposefully made to like not get attention. And
yeah,
there's
something about this building. Yeah. Should we wait for Kesra? Don't know if we should or not.
What do you need me to hold your hand? Big boys?
Yeah, true. We are big boys.
Yep.
And also, he's doing shit all day, so.
Are there any windows I can peer through?
Nope.
Nice.
I just want to let you know, Benson, that if I die in here, it is Kesra's fault.
Well, that was a given.
Don't worry, we know to blame Kesra, it's okay.
That would be the third character that Kelly has killed.
Whoa!
Damn. Did I suggest not killing the lathe?
You delayed getting to Adalar. You're like, you'll be fine. You'll make it another round.
Oh, yeah.
Then I did it.
Oh, right.
Oh, right.
No, I remember you saying, that lathe is not a threat at all.
Adalar will survive another round. Oh, no.
So as you walk up, I'll say with your natural 20, Tim, you realize that this place looks like dilapidated too. Like that's what that's another part of it. But as you get up, you realize your natural 20 lets you see that this is like a farce. Like that.
Oh, it's just hallucinatory.
It's not magically made to look like this. It looks like they just made it look like it's like a boarded up crappy building that looks like it was supposed to be condemned or something. But like the wood is too new, the stonework looks like it was like kind of chipped away on purpose to make it look like it's like, you know, like not in great condition. And you being a dwarf are just like, yeah, this is worked to look this way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when people take coffee and put it on paper, to make it look all old for like a, I don't know, some sort of handout in a tabletop game. It's the same kind of aesthetic that they're going for.
Wait a minute, this isn't a condemned Chuck E. Cheese.
I just walked by the Chuck E. Cheese in Annapolis the other day. Gone.
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 No more Chuck E. Cheese.
Yep.
No more cardboard pizza? Oh god.
What am I supposed to do on Friday nights?
Is it a facade, though? Is there, like, a Bucky Rees underneath or something?
Given Chuck E. Cheese's origins in history, sure, probably is.
The rats are working the animatronics now.
Always have been.
They just keep doing it out of habit.
Yeah. So we have a fake facade building, two missing people, and, no Kezra. As much as I would love to not have Kelly be a part of the podcast, we should probably wait till his character can actually join us.
Do we think we have the time?
Yes.
I guess they've been missing for a week already.
Yes, I would say as much as Kezra would be lovely to have in the situation, if they've been missing for such a long time already, it's might be good to figure out more what's going on. Also,
you want me to go check the door?
Can anyone turn into a bug or something and scout in?
Is there a door?
I've been able to do that this whole time.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, there is a door, and it's assumingly locked. I can turn invisible.
And we do have the skeleton key, as we've established.
Yes.
Got it from Kezra. And it's probably been an hour, so we can just use it again.
Yeah. I would say it's been an hour, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm done with that.
Yeah, I would say, I'm thinking, actually. He will summon Luca to be next to him.
Okay.
Just to preemptively bring him out. But also, he can have Luca try the door, basically. Like, he can pretty much do everything for him. Like,
okay, gotcha. I do have a DC here. So, what is the exact spell, and like, what is this like power? I guess against this, because I want to make sure that the spell is going to work on this door. Obviously, Algrit's house was a simple lock, but this seems to be sort of built into the door and looks a bit more complicated.
Well, knock counteracts lock.
Right.
But doesn't that just give you a bonus to thievery? Or no?
You make the target easier to open. Knock grants a +4 status bonus to any creature that tries to open the target door. You can attempt a thievery check to open the target as part of casting knock, and you add your level even if you're untrained. Oh, so that's the thing. So you get the +4 status bonus. Mm-hmm. You add your level if you're untrained, and the key grants a +2 item bonus.
Oh, wow.
So +6 plus level for level 12. So it should be a +18 for a lockpicking check, for thievery check.
But if I use my thievery check, because I will say my thievery check is a +18.
So you get a +6.
Six on top of that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah. No, yeah, we could do that easily. He'll check to see for traps as well, because if a lock is this established, it'd be good to know. You know.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead and go in and roll perception to see it. See to kind of like look around to see if there's anything that's kind of sticks out to you.
Yeah. 34.
You look, it looks like this, there's a heavy padlock on it, but you don't see anything tied to it. You don't see any, you know, pressure plates or anything like that, no trip wires. So you could approach it. And you, so you said that Luca's doing it, right?
Yep. He shares my thing, so.
Okay. Where are you guys during this?
Probably far enough back to where we can just observe. So I'm going to say, like, cross the street.
Yeah.
Okay.
With a big fake mustache being like, what's going on here? I'm not a part of this.
I have a large top hat.
I'm a normal sized dwarf.
No. So as you guys are, like, within looking distance and, like, watching this, you hear two people kind of go, hey, what are y'all doing standing there? And
like to us?
Yes. And two guards come walking towards you.
Well, don't you know we're working on our outfits and costumes for the latest issue of Dwarf Daily here in Kamala? Try to find some brutal architecture to be painted as a paint backdrop. So you can see here, we were scouting at various locations. There's a dilapidated building over there. There's one kind of near to us here, so we were just testing out, you know, the striking difference between art and architecture, form and function.
Yes.
Roll that aid check, John.
You know, I don't really care. It's the second time I've heard this one today. Listen, this building's condemned. You can't be near it.
Why? What is it condemned for? A crime against dwarven architecture. I know that as much.
Yes, exactly. Also, somebody's looking to buy it, as far as I know. So, you just don't touch it, okay?
All right, we weren't going to touch it.
Okay.
This street is public space, is it not?
Yeah, all of you are sitting there staring at it, though, so they're like, I don't know.
Well,
you better not be getting...
Got a big pair of evil binoculars.
they're just like, come on, move, walk.
This is a public area. We can stand where we please. Is it not true?
I'm doing this for your safety. Come on, let's go.
Can I make an insight check to see if they want to just get us away from the building?
Yeah. This would be perception.
Because we already know guards took away the one person, so these guards might just be trying to get us away from their clearly, probably, illegal dwarf organ harvesting ring. Just a random theory there.
Yeah.
No, I could see it, actually.
Hold on. You know, it'd be great if I remembered my actual stats.
Let me see. Let me see what their thing is. So you're like, You've met a guard before. You know, there's like a certain point that you just kind of like let something drop, and they're just like not letting it drop. And you're just like, all right, what's the deal? Like, why are they being so pushy about this?
Garden is going to follow up. Am I being detained?
No, no, you're not being detained. You just can't be here. Look, you just.
Am I free to go then?
Yeah, please leave. That's what I've been trying to get you to do.
All right, we'll just stay put right here. If we are free to go about this great city of Kovalar, then we're just going to continue to scout out locations. Not that building, of course. We were just contemplating it. We are looking for other locations, and sometimes when life brings you down a certain path and you don't know where to go next, sometimes you just have to sit and be still.
Right.
I mean, if you want to hang out here with us, that's perfectly fine with me. Tell me about yourself.
No. I want to see the poses you're doing for Dwarf Daily.
Oh, now you've taken an interest in our art form.
It seems like they're trying to call you on your bluff.
All right, well, you don't realize that I have points in performance.
Oh, God.
So I've been waiting for this moment.
I love that Garn just like, all right, finally ready. He looks up and both bench.
Tim's like, you're
just going on.
Tim's like, you activated my trap card.
Two spotlights apparently form on Garn, and he's going,
yes! I got a 29.
29. He put on a pretty good show, and they're like,
all right, yeah, it was good, I think.
All right, well, don't you have more rounds to make? We're busy here contemplating our next steps.
Well, if you want to walk anywhere else, I can show you around the city.
We're, like, across the street.
Yeah.
But you want to show us the tours of the city?
Well, if you're looking for good spots, maybe I can show you, some sightseeing places.
All right, so I'm going to kind of wink at Benson as like, show me the sights of the city. And it's going to be like an opportunity for him to kind of peel away.
Double back.
Yeah, I'd be like, what? I should call you a code name.
Yes.
Oh, Jeffrey. These fine guards, show us the sights of the city. There was that spot that we passed, that one bar. I can't quite remember the name of it, but I believe you're trying to secure some lodgings there, so... No, I think it was back that way. I'll go head on. They'll show me the sights. We are quite new around here, so we've all been quite flustered, you know, coming from Five Kings Mountains, getting this gig with Dwarf Daily here in Kovalar.
Yes. Come, Eugene.
Gene and Jeffrey.
All right, so me and the two guards.
No, you and one of the guards walks, and then the other one stands there.
Oh, wait, are you not both coming?
No, I'm walking you, and then he's going to sit here.
Why are you sitting here? Is it your express purpose just to guard this building?
Well, Dude, are you trying to be as suspicious as possible, for fuck's sake? They clearly don't want us here.
Yeah. I'm trying to goad them into trying
the
to arrest us, then we're going to beat them.
Look.
I'm trying to goad them into fighting us.
self-defense, you know.
Yeah, that's always worked in the past.
Yeah.
So what's Mark doing during this time? Because you said you were invisible?
Oh, yeah. I actually didn't turn invisible at the time because I was just saying I could do that.
Okay.
Well, because I do have that spell. But at the same time...
Who do you think I was calling Eugene?
Oh... here, I thought we were biding time for Mark to break into this place.
I can do that. I'm just saying.
I think I just misread the situation.
Yeah, I misread the whole thing.
Your performance was so deep.
I got confused. But yeah, I would say, like, at this point, casting invisibility, vanish, then I can work the lock.
But what I guess the question is, are we retconning we could just let them escort us away, and then we could get Kezra and come back in the thick of the
Yeah, let Ambrose
something.
Die by himself.
No, I'm saying that we don't even try to break in right now.
Yeah,
just
I like that
Kezra.
Idea.
I mean, we know the building, at least, that there's a suspicious building in this part of town.
Yeah. Yes, we can come back in cover of darkness. Fuck!
God damn it.
Oh, right.
Sorry, not good at this. Midnight.
So, if you, one of them goes to walk one of you away while the other one stays there, and he's just like, yes, it is my express job to patrol this street. In this place is condemned, as I said. It's somebody's looking to buy and tear it down.
Shame they would want to tear down such a charming building.
That's funny. But listen, if you want to look inside, totally up to you.
That sounds like a trap. What do you guys want to do?
We're peeling off. We're circling back with Kezra during nightfall.
Okay.
Yeah.
A shame. We almost had a whole episode without him.
feeling the love, John.
I mean, it's just something like we probably could get away with it, but I at the same time don't want to involve us beating guards up like that. I mean, I don't know.
Well, you think you could get away with it. There's definitely not something that could see invisibility in there. Definitely not.
Oh, yeah, definitely not. I mean, this hasn't happened before.
I mean, these lowly peon guards probably can't see invisibility. So.
Oh, no. It's just like just trying to get in and then being encountered with something else. Like,
right. That's why I'm saying we all try to go in together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not
that's
bad.
Why we'll circle up with Kezra. Oh.
Yeah, I like that idea.
No, that works. That way we can get the hell out, too, because he also...
I'm sure our entire audience has been going, why are you splitting the party this entire time?
or they're like, get in the fucking door! Like,
stop playing make-believe with guards and get the door. Play make-believe with each other and get the door.
No, I have to put on another fashion show.
with the guards fully believing that your fashion show is on nigh, they... Like I said, he did go, look, if you want to go in and look, it's condemned. I can't guarantee you won't get tetanus. Okay?
We're just going to go get Kezra.
Okay.
Like, at this point, yeah. We've already been accosted so much, we don't want to, like, you know.
They politely asked us to leave, to be fair.
They did.
I won't call it accosting us.
Did I hear right from your... resource that your information gathering that there were some guards involved with this woman that disappeared? Yeah.
Yes, okay. They exactly. Escorted the woman away. That's why I was suspicious.
Yeah.
So the guards have something to do with this.
Yeah. There's definitely some dirty stuff going on behind the scenes.
I'm saying organ harvesting ring.
Yeah, Scarlet Triad.
Yeah, probably, actually.
Or they're trying to get everybody for, like, a timeshare, and they're still in the meeting. It's been weeks. They're in that stupid meeting where they try to sell you the timeshare.
They haven't broke
and they won't
yet,
let them go.
Yeah.
Dwarves are stubborn. They're not going to budge.
All right, so you guys go away. Oh, as you walk away, the thing that they were asking you to do, they're just like, thank you for listening, citizen. And then they walk on their way.
Fucking yeah. Assholes.
I just go right to the alchemy shop and I just buy us a round of invisibility potions. Like, you know?
See, before you said alchemy, and I was like, I'm just gonna get fire bombs and just bomb that out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure potion invisibility isn't that expensive.
No.
Is there a dwarven guy, Fox? I wanna be that
for
guy.
Us anyways.
Okay, so you guys. You guys go get Kezra?
Yep, after I get invisibility potions.
Okay.
So it's 100 gold for all five of us.
No. I mean, Kezra doesn't need them. I don't need it. So.
I mean, save your spell. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's an
or save
it,
your
it's
gold.
An innate spell.
Oh.
Well,
wait, invisibility is an innate spell?
I can only use it once a day. But
that's sick.
But yeah, it's due to my heritage.
Kezra, what do you want? Do you want the potion, or do you want to burn the spell slot on it?
I can burn the spell slot. I have plenty.
Okay. So I'll just get...
I got so many spell slots, I don't know what to do with them.
I'll just get two potions of invisibility, then.
You guys meet up. Y'all tell Kezra about your way more exciting day than he had.
Yeah, and then he turns around, and he whips out this upgraded Staff of Fire Major. And, no, he had a great day.
That's sick.
goodness, Kezzer, put that thing away. You'll burn down the building.
Put that thing away. There are children here.
I'm never taking my hands off of this again.
So what type of spells do you have on this now?
Got some good ones on it. You'll see. But it's like having two cocks.
You wouldn't separate an orc from his walking stick.
It's like having two dicks. I'm like, wait, so you get lightheaded? And like,
yeah.
So you pee out of them both at the same time? And as it was,
this one gets really hot.
Like valve system.
I think that's gonorrhea.
You need to see a doctor, actually.
You think so?
Think I got a problem for that.
All right. You guys go back to this place to meet up with the with the gang. Gang's all here.
It's all here. Yay. Yeah, we're gonna get some distance. We got duration 10 minutes, so we'll get like a minute's walk out, so that you know we don't like necessarily see the guards around. We pop the potion / spells. We walk up and we'll use knock on the door.
Do you want me to scout this place
at
out?
At least that's my plan.
From the air. Do you think it'd be useful?
I mean, it's a pretty squat building, right?
Yes. I will bring you all over to the map.
Oh,
to the map. Bring to the map.
Oh, I also have another spell that would be useful, innate as well. See the unseen.
Hey! Empress is full of surprises.
Yeah. Oh, so you can see.
Oh, wow,
you
what
all,
a detailed map.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you can see how big the map is. Not that big. But as I said, all the four walls of this place are completely nondescript. They just are made to look destitute.
Right.
It's like one of those storage container houses.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I too will have.
All right, we open.
I too will have seen the unseen.
Using that second dick of yours. All right.
All right. So you go up to the door. It gives you a +6 total to pick the lock now.
An additional plus six.
Yeah,
plus
six. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's fine. I said Luca's out, but I mean at this point he'll do the theory recheck himself because it's the same. So it's a +8. Well, +24. Okay. So add a 6 to that. That's a 38.
38. Whoa. Success. So you go up, and you can tell that the spell kind of like, and you hear it open, you know that the like, it was one of those locks that's like in the door, so it was like, you know, a pretty heavy one, you hear it unlock.
Okay, I believe I'm inside, or did the lock at least. And you said before there was no pressure plates, no nothing.
Yeah. It looked like the only defense in this place was the lock itself.
Okay.
In the
Benson tries to do a hand motion to signal that he's going to go in. He's like, fuck.
I see it.
No one's paying attention to me.
But yeah, Benson will slowly open the door. Maybe they'll think it's the wind.
You.
In this underground tunnel.
Go to open the door, and as the so it's a like double door sort of deal here. And as you open up the door, there are two dwarves decked out in some serious guard same uniforms that you guys saw. But there are clearly guards in here. Let me show you the picture of them. They look fucking sick.
Oh dang. Man!
Oh yeah. That's a walking tank.
Oh
yeah.
My god, that's awesome.
So these guys have mauls. Big, huge two-handed weapon here.
Looks more like a spiked dire mace.
Yeah. But these guys are standing up wielding the weapons. And they're looking in your direction, and then the door opens. They don't see anything.
I don't. Let's surround and kill them.
Well, so what do you got? You know what? We're gonna roll initiative because
there we go.
Because I want to see what you guys are doing. So, like, that was you guys hitting a lock. Was that they stood up and then you opened up the door, but they don't see anything. So now it's like, who goes first?
I was about to say I'm kind of lost for what to do right now. Just kind of standing in the doorway.
What would I be using thievery? I guess for that, since I used that first.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So and then I guess you guys want to roll stealth or whatever. That is entirely up to you.
Yeah, I think stealth makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not using stealth. Okay.
Fuck.
One of those, huh?
It's just Kezra. Just Kezra.
Kezra special.
Never after all initiative.
It's a shard.
Benson got a 30.
Right. All right, so Benson got a 30. Garn, what'd you get?
Garn got a 31.
One. Ambrose.
If I was going off my thievery, I believe I rolled a 38.
38?
That was what the knock as for the bonus, but that, I guess, that adds to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Kezer.
17.
That's bad.
Is that a natural one? I don't know.
Natural two.
So, bottom of the initiative is Benson with a 30 and then Kezra, 17. There's no one in between them.
Yeah. I rolled stealth, which I have a plus 15 in. Yeah.
Yep.
If I'd used my stealth, I would have gotten an 11.
Yeah.
That's why I don't use my stealth.
That's why I don't use it. Okay. So, Ambrose, it is your turn. So Benson opened up the door, and you see these two guards, clearly guards. They were dressed in the same way that you saw the other guys. But they have these weapons, and they look like they were ready to swing at something, but they don't see anything.
Wow. Okay, yeah, and from my angle, I can see inside part of it. There's, like, another doorway.
Yeah.
Shoot. You need, like...
All right, let me read this. As it opens up, you can see that there are, let's see, what can you see from your angle? Hold on. So from Ambrose's angle, you can see that this place just has, like, stone walls everywhere. And you can see that, like, you see this little, like, open doorway in the north? Do you see that?
Yeah, I see that.
So that looks like, it looks like some kind of, like, office in there. But this place does not look abandoned or condemned, like they had said.
Right.
Shit. Okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of what to do exactly, because if I do any offensive motion, I become visible. But... God, if there's a way to, like, to draw them over to one side, I could block them in. It's dumb. Is there, like, torches in there?
No, there are no torches.
So it's pitch black, I'm assuming?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's the ambient lighting from, like, the city, but, like...
Okay, you know, that's enough, I need.
They don't need them, so...
Yeah, alright. Is there, like, something to... use, like, a deception to, like... It's not an attack, but I'm thinking of, like, using, like, a word to try to draw them out.
Oh, yeah, I mean, if you just want to use deception to try to, like...
Calls a distraction or something.
Guards, please! Like that kind of deal?
Yeah, except in this case, it would be, like... You'd be like, oh, shit! And, like, kind of like he was like, oh, I broke in! Oh, no, I gotta get the fuck out! I just saw these guys.
Oh, okay, yeah, go ahead and roll deception. I mean, you can just use your voice for that. Yeah, if you just want to roll deception to try to, like, make them think that, like... Somebody did open up the door as they were sort of thinking happened, but then, you know, like, that they hear some guy trying to get away or something like that. Yeah,
like he was trying, like, someone was trying to break in and realizing, oh no! Like,
sure.
Okay. Deception isn't the... Well, it's one of my third high skills. That is a 33.
Okay. So you do that. They seem to kind of like perk up to the voice that you used. When it comes to their turn, we'll see what they do.
Because right now he's just trained to be like, if they start and you said they were like going to swing immediately, and I said I don't want to immediately open myself up to attack. So
yeah.
So yeah. After that, if I cast shield on myself, would that alert anybody or no? I'm just curious. It's not offensive.
It's not hostile.
Yeah, it's not hostile, and
they shouldn't see it.
Right.
Okay. He'll cast shield on himself.
So, well. Okay. It comes to guard number one's turn.
Okay.
So that is. Let me make sure. All right. So it's the one to the south. So he just goes up and he just closes his side of the door. Just poof. Comes to. And then he. You hear him say, "Hey." But not to you guys. And then you hear the other guy, and then the other guy on the north closes his door as well. So now the double doors are closed.
But not locked again.
Not locked.
Okay. That works. So they don't want to try to run out after anybody. They just want to keep it shut. Okay.
So that was their turns. Garn, it's your turn.
I'm moving to the door. And I have two actions left. I wish I had my fold. Wait a second. It's a new day. So Garn taps into the latent energy of the Chrono Worm, and I'm going to bend time. So, once per day, I can become quickened for one extra round, or for this round. So I use my one action to open the door.
Okay.
My second action to move. Won't let me do that. To move here.
And here is behind the North Guard.
Yeah, that's right. Behind the North Guard, I have him in a line. And because when I start a battle, I get a free shift eminence, it's shifted to my Titan's Breaker, to the Morning Star, and I'm going to do the classic. Make my Morning Star as big as can be and topple the Pillar of Heaven. So that just hits with a reflex save against my class DC. Okay. I think they might take a negative because they're flat-footed to me. So I don't know how flat-footed affects reflex DCs, but I'm sure it does.
I don't actually think it does.
I don't think it does either.
That's crazy.
I don't think it does either. I'll also say this: they were extremely on edge.
That's true. Right. They were waiting for the Pillar of Heaven to topple.
They were like, "Oh, it's the Pillar of Heaven!" No. all right.
Don't you hate it when...
Guy number one gets a 33.
That is a success.
Okay. Guy number two on the southern gets a 37.
That's right. With success. They'll both take half damage.
Surprisingly high reflexes.
So 35 half is going to be... 17 points of damage.
17 to both.
And as I appear, I say, "That my recommendation wasn't even that good."
So you top of the Pillar of Heaven onto these guys, and it clobbers them. You immediately hear. as they get hit with these things, and they turn to look at you, and then is that the end of your turn there?
Ha! Yep.
Okay. Benson, it's your turn.
So we're doing this now.
Yep. Yeah.
What's your favorite part, buddy? Stabby stab.
Yeah.
So the people came here for.
I mean, you could talk to them, but.
I think just dropped just the pillar violence. Of heaven on their heads. I think we're past that.
John, your diplomacy will take some negatives because they're currently in combat with Garn.
Yeah.
Just want to let you know.
We don't even know him. I mean, God.
There's no way I'm just stepping right in the middle of them, so I'm going to move in.
Wait. Don't you want to flank with me?
So I get flanked by the other guy?
Hey!
You are invisible right now.
Relax!
And then you can step, attack, and then step. True.
Sure. Yep. We'll do that. Step, attack.
All right, so you're attacking the north guy that you and Garn are now flanking, so it's cool. All right, I have the off-guard AC here.
It doesn't matter, because I just rolled a natural 20.
Ah, god dang it.
haven't hit a card in a few apps.
Oh, love Dude, it.
This, just, oh, by the way, this episode brought to you by...
Black Oak Workshop, where dice are treasure.
I dropped my own Pillar of Heaven.
It's always Benson crits. It's always normal damage or triple damage. Terrible cut, triple damage. Oh, god.
All right.
I slid him from neck to nuts.
Yes. Okay.
Got staccatas.
Ooh.
Okay. So that's 22.
Wait, times triple. Three?
Times three.
Wait,
66?
66 points of damage?
Yep.
Ow.
That might be Benson's biggest hit ever.
Oh my god.
That's good.
That was two away from Max.
Oh my god. Okay. Alright, so you see you run by him and slice his spine open pretty much.
And step, and then ends my turn.
That's nice. Your turn.
Beautiful, beautiful.
That was a drive by.
Yeah. Kezzer.
Things I could do. But what am I going to do?
Just drop a wall of fire right on top of Garn.
Drop a wall of fire.
Alright, Garn will be alright.
He said it.
I did. I said it and I mean it. If there's some nasty thing you can do to them that would potentially hurt Garn, I say just go for it.
I don't want to think. How many characters have you had to?
And I want them to continue to be Kelly's fault. Garn had dropped that wall of fire on me.
I see the 4D chest in flame. Uh-huh. Guilt.
But you were the one that said to do it. It was a test.
If your friend said to drop a wall of fire on you, would you do it too?
Right, Kezzer doesn't want to get in there yet. So he's going to cast, he's going to hold the Staff of Fire up, and he is going to cast a heightened floating flame on the southern guy.
Alright.
So go ahead and roll a reflex save as a ball of fire just erupts right where this guy is standing.
It was a 38 total.
38, that's a pretty good roll for a dude in fucking full plate.
Sure is he getting that bonus, I'm guessing?
I don't know if that's calculated in for, like,
NPCs. Oh, no, that was a shield thing, right? That Benson has? That gives him,
No,
that's full plate thing.
Okay. Yeah, that is a full plate thing, but I don't believe that they calculate that in for, like, NPCs.
Mm.
I think that's purely a PC formula. Anyway.
Yeah, that is a success, so you'll take half damage.
Jeez.
So high-ass reflex saves, though.
I know.
So you will take 8 damage.
What?
Who turned the heat on?
And last action, he will just cast a shield, I think.
Okay. Top of the round. All right, so Benson, Garn, and Kezra are visible. Ambrose, it is your turn, and you're the only one still invisible.
Yep. He'll have Luca go in.
Yep.
Because
Luca's
invisible right now. And right. He's going to stand right there. So, I mean, honestly, Benson could go back into sort of flank. Oh, crap.
Right.
Oh, okay. So you're blocking the path that the other guard would take.
Oh, yeah,
if
yeah,
you try
yeah
to flank Benson. Yeah, okay,
exactly. Gotcha. Yeah, and since if Luca attacks, I don't become visible. Ambrose doesn't. So because two separate
yeah
characters.
Yeah, those are yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So with Luca in position, he's just going to swing out at the southern guard.
Okay.
So he will. I would say the guard would be flat-footed to him from this attack because he has no idea he's there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the invisible does make.
Oh yeah. It definitely should be. That's a 36 to hit.
That's a hit.
Oh, yeah. And damage. Ooh.
Wait. Hold on a second. Let me see. Are you within 15 feet of me? Yes, you are. So when I used my attack, it shifted my eminence into my victor's wreath. So you're within 15 feet of me, so you get a plus one to that attack. So that's a 37. You rolled a 37
plus. It'll be a. I mean, Jake already probably calculated that. So
what?
Is the extra plus one make it a crit?
Flat-footed?
Even flat-footed, no.
Yeah.
37 is not going to crit
these guys. So that's 24 points of damage.
Okay.
This would be 6 cold, 1 spirit, if that does anything.
Nope. All damage goes through just fine.
Okay. And so we're doing the act together. He'll attack again. Plus 18 to hit this time. Oh, that's a miss. 24.
Yes. That is. Yeah, that's going to be a miss.
And. Shit. Oh, darn. Because I can't do anything else because it has the map on it. So that'll be that. And preemptively, he's just on Activate Lifelink Surge.
Okay.
He's just like, don't take damage. I know I am.
Very nice. Okay, so it comes to the guard's turn. So this is the one that you just did. So this is the one that went first on the round. He was the one that closed the door first and stuff. So he is going to swing out at
Luca.
Yeah. He would have to because he just struck him. So he's going to swing out with the maul.
Alright.
And it's gonna be 43 to hit.
Oh fuck. That's a crit.
Okay. So that is gonna be 18 points of damage regular, so turn it into 36.
Okay.
There's a specialty on that weapon, right?
Yes, so in fact, he actually also knocks Luca down. I don't know how that works with him being a ghost.
It'll knock him down.
Okay, okay. It also says that because of the improved knockdown, if the strike hits, also apply the critical success of a trip. Instead of the... it actually hurts a lot more than a regular... than just like a regular trip, because regular trip is just like D6. This is another amount of the weapon damage die. So that is going to be... okay. So it's going to be 9 points of bludgeoning as he gets knocked down.
Okay.
And then he is going to swing again.
Well, is Benson going to retributive strike any of that?
Yes, I will.
Are you saving it? Okay.
So I get back 14 from that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And get a free hit, right?
No.
I can.
I was gonna say you can. You're on the ground, so.
Uh huh.
I can still hit. I can bite ankles. Yeah. I can do a lot of things.
You can swing for his toes.
Oh yeah. Haha, his weak point. No, that's a mess.
Okay. Okay. So he's gonna do one attack while you're on the ground. It's gonna be full map though here. Even full map, 37.
Dang.
That wouldn't be a crit. Wait, what's my AC if I'm on the ground? Is that just flat-footed? Would that just be... My AC is 32 right now, but if I'm on the ground, would it just be a 30?
Hold on, let me put prone on. Prone puts you off guard.
Okay, so it's not a crit.
Okay,
that's all,
not a crit.
That's all I care about.
Alright. In which case, regular damage. 26 points of bludgeoning damage. And after that, the door directly behind him opens, and two more guards come into the room.
Fuck.
Cool.
And you hear, "Fucking get them! They can't find out!" I'll see you guys next time.
Ooh, ah, there we go.
We're gonna find out!
Welcome to the blender, boys.